Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Hi, I'm doing stand-up at the Brea Improv in Brea, California, Saturday, August 21st at 7 p.m. And then there's another show at 9:30. And then Sunday, August 22nd at 7 p.m. I will be running my special that I'm shooting for Netflix later this month. So, you know, you can see it live. Why Won't You Date Me? The podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could drive me to the beach, throw me into the ocean, and say, bitch, figure out how to get home yourself. Today, my guest is a drag queen all the way from Glasgow, Scotland. She's the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race UK Season 2. I'm so excited. It's Laurence Janey.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Nicole. Oh my God, this is such a dream come true, you know?
Thank you so much for doing this. After watching Drag Race Season 2 UK, I said in the wrong order, whatever.
Yeah.
I've been like trying to say babes, but like it doesn't really like roll off my tongue very well.
You mean like you rock babes?
Yes.
You rock babes?
Yes. Wait, what are you saying? You rock, babes?
No, you all right, babes. But because you say it so quickly, it's you rock, babes.
You're right, babes.
You rock, babes. Yeah.
Yeah, it just
see,
like,
the quicker you say it.
Okay. You're right, babes.
That's better.
That's see? Better? Okay. Wait, so you're from Scotland.
Yeah.
I have a question. So Scotland is part of the UK. This has been explained to me so many times, and it like doesn't take to my brain.
Yes, so Scotland is a separate country from England. So the UK is formed of Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. So we're all like one combined superpower, you could say. Well, but yeah, it's very bizarre. Like in Scotland, we're trying to get independence and stuff like that, which basically just means, or the way I kind of see it, is we have a leader up here. You know, we have our own government in Scotland. But, you know, what's annoying, especially with lockdowns, is if in England, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, wants to lift lockdown because their cases are lower, that's not maybe the same or the best option for up in Scotland or in Wales or something. So it needs to be done. I think it needs to be like powers need to be handed over to like local governments. I know we're getting very political very early on, but
it's 2021. We got to talk about politics.
Yeah.
So, okay. In Scotland,
what are the boys like there? I want a Scottish boy. I want like either a Scottish boy or an Irish boy. I just want somebody with like an accent. And no offense, I don't want anybody English.
Well, people love Scottish people and Irish people, and it's all about the accent. Uh-huh. And because we've got a high frequency of ginger people. And people really slag off ginger people, I feel, except in the bedroom. You know, they're always very, I'd rather that than be ginger. You know, they always say things like that. But then I don't see you hating when there's a ginger person in the bed, you know? Dating is a bizarre thing in Scotland because Scotland's small. You know, it's quite a small country. So chances are, if I've dated someone, everyone knows who that person is. And then if my friend's broken up with someone, you know who it is. You know, so it's a very small dating pool, especially in like the gay universe.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
It's like the Marvel universe, but, you know.
Yeah. Just a little smaller.
Yes.
That makes sense. I love a ginger. There's an actor, Domhnall Gleeson. I think I say his name right.
Yes.
My fucking God, Lawrence. Oh, if I had the chance. Oh, boy. I'd never let him go. He's so fucking hot. Truly. Oh, my God. He's my, like, number one right now.
Number one on the list.
Yeah. Number one on the list. I'm going to, you know, check him off one of these days. You know?
Oh my God.
Has dating been, I ask all the Drag Race girls this because I'm just so curious about the experience. Has dating been harder or easier since you've been on the television and then fucking won the gig, girl?
So what is so bizarre, which I find really weird because I still live in the same flat, you know, the same apartment that I have lived in for the past few years. So before I won Drag Race, when I was still doing local gigs and, you know, so not much has changed. I still see myself as like the same old Loza, you know, but what's so weird is people that would, you know, on apps like Grindr, Tinder, people who would never speak to me before because you're plus size. They've got all that kind of discrimination in the head. They're like, no, don't want the fats. Don't want that, you know. Suddenly they're like, oh, do you want to come over tonight and watch a film? I'm like, no, I don't want to come over and watch a film with you. And it's difficult because a lot of the time these people are very visually good looking, but I'm so like, I guess there's still that bitter side of me that's like, no, I tapped you on Grindr 2 years ago and you didn't want me, so I'm not going to let you have it, you know?
I love it. I love being petty. It's one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. But yeah, it is kind of like a true mind fuck, especially like, so you're like, I don't know if you want me because I'm on TV. Obviously it is because you didn't want me 2 years ago. And then it does something to your fucking brain.
Well, and I remember, so before I was on Drag Race, I you know, we have a BBC in Scotland. So I was like filming some little things for TV here, you know, just very local things, adverts, things like that. So I was kind of on the rise. So a lot of people did know me. And I did a campaign for our like subway system in Glasgow. And, you know, there are posters of me in the city. And I remember one time on a date, we were walking around and they said, oh, so what do you do for work? And I was like, look behind you. And that was so weird because, especially because my real name is Lawrence and also my drag persona, Lawrence. So when people address you, say a man would come up to you in the nightclub or, you know, on a date, it's hard to know who they're talking to. Are they called, you know, if they go, Lawrence Hen, you look beautiful. Are you talking to me? Or are you talking to the rhinestones, the glamour, the ostrich fit? Like, is that who you're talking to? Or is it little Loza? You know, like, that's very weird. Very difficult to understand.
Yeah, that must be so weird. Why did you choose your own name to be your drag name?
So I always knew from a really young age that I loved acting. I loved, you know, comedy. I love people like Melissa McCarthy, mm-hmm. Dawn French. I love anyone that can nail like a silly comedic fall and all that very physical humor. I mm-hmm. love. So I was just aware that I didn't want to cut myself off in regards to, you know, how some drag queens are named like sexual innuendos. So like penetration yeah. or like meth or, you know, when uh-huh. they name themselves something that's, you know, that would hinder them being on like Good Morning America or something like that. So I always knew my goal was like, you want to be a superstar, you want to be on TV, uh-huh. so you can't have a name like that. So I just stuck with my name because I was studying acting at the time and I was like, fuck it. Who cares? Who cares?
I think that's probably really smart because also it's like once you start getting like acting roles outside of drag, yeah. then it's just like, oh, we don't have to differentiate. It's just, that's just my stage name. And it's a name yeah. that can be used for acting as well.
I hate people's obsession. I think it's a very straight media thing, you know, just kind of straight media outlets are so obsessed with drag queens' government names. It drives me crazy. You know,
it is weird.
It's always Bob the drag queen or, and then it's in brackets. Yeah. And it's like, why do you care? Like, you're not talking yeah. to so-and-so today. You're talking to Bob the drag queen or Lawrence Cheney. You know, uh-huh. it's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. They also really love to put your age.
Yes!
And yes. once they figure it out, it's like everywhere. And I tried so hard to keep my age off the internet. And it's not even a vanity thing. It's because I've heard casting directors go, they're 32, they're too old to play 25. And you're like, but they look young.
Yeah, exactly.
Why aren't you looking at the looks? Yeah. It's so fucked up.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it? This old world we live in.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Me and you will go to Mars. How about that?
Honestly, we'll I would love yeah. to. Like, they discovered UFOs last year, or not discovered. They were like, they're real. They're yeah. here. Beam me the fuck up and take yeah. me out of here.
Yeah, beam me up, slutty. Yeah.
I have been trying to have a hot girl summer because I'm vaccinated and I'm ready and I'm fucking horny.
Yeah.
And I am not doing well, okay? No. Not doing well. So I was in Tacoma in July last month. So I was like, okay, I'm going to set up a dick appointment. And I'm very excited about this. So I started swiping on Tinder while I was in LA. I paid extra to change my fucking location. And then I matched with like a bunch of people. I was like, oh my God, she's like really thriving here in Tacoma in LA. And I get up there and I message this guy and I was like, hey, do you want to meet me in my hotel room? Because I was like, why talk? Like, just let's get it done.
And he yeah, was like, all in one message.
Yeah,
get it
truly.
Done. Yeah.
And he was like, I can't believe I don't have to do more to get to your hotel room. And I was like, no, I'm very horny. Let's do this. And he was like, well, I have to get a babysitter. And I was like, okay, I don't give a shit. Okay, get a babysitter.
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then he just stopped messaging me back. I was livid because I was trying to sandwich. I was trying to fuck before my show, have my show, fuck after my show.
Yeah.
And then I imagined this other guy. And then I was like, well, surely the late night one will come through. And then he stopped messaging me back too. And then I was like, well, one more. I'll try one more time. And then I was swiping. And this, I was like, so we matched. He messaged me. He was like, how are you doing? And I was like, great. Do you want to come to my hotel room? Yeah. And he was like, he responded with, what do you do for a living? And I was like, oh, he recognized me. And he's just like trying to confirm that it's me. But I was like, don't match with me. Why are you matching with anybody unless you're trying to fuck him?
Yeah. But this is a question I have, right? So is Tinder like straight Grindr?
Nothing is as good as Grindr. They tell you by the foot where somebody is.
I was going to say, they tell you by the foot, and people are so open. They're like, hey, in the park now, trousers around my ankles, come fuck. And I appreciate, listen, I like my friends to be honest, and I like my hookups to be more honest.
Yes.
So I appreciate the honesty of, listen, I'm face down, ass up. Do you want to go for it? I love that, you know?
I mean, It's not the same. The straights are not the same.
The straights are not the
Rather,
same.
Rather, the men who fuck women are not the same.
Yes. I can't believe that you got stood up. That
three
is insane.
Fucking times. I shaved my pussy. I went all the way to a fucking Rite Aid. I bought a razor. I bought condoms. The guy at the counter was smiling at me. He was like, I know what's up. And I was like,
ready
so do
to
I.
Fuck. He was yeah. ready to fuck.
I should have just been like, do you want to fuck me in the back? Because he was like happy for me.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to shave my pussy because it had been a minute. But man, I was very, very, very fucking angry.
There's nothing worse than being like blue balls. But like, see, what I would call it in Scotland is we call it being a shite bag. See, if you're being a shite bag, it's, you know, saying, oh, I'll come over. And then they just go silent. And you know when they're active or if it shows that they're green, they're online, but then they don't reply and they go, sorry, I fell asleep. And you know in your head, you're like, I know you were not asleep. Yeah. You were just trying to withhold from me. It is so
Which
annoying.
Which is like, why lie? Just be yes. like, oh, I decided I didn't want to fuck you anymore. That would not hurt my feelings. I would just have an answer.
But that's the annoying thing is, see, by them withholding and not saying anything, you then don't arrange another dick appointment because you're like, oh, maybe they're shaving their pussy. Maybe they're doing whatever they need to do. You have no idea. But see, if they just said, oh, listen, I've had too much drink, or listen, oh, I'm need to get up early tomorrow, I'm not going to do it. Fair enough. But, yes. Oh, the lying. I can't do it. Cannot deal
with
it.
I don't like it. It makes me so sad. So upset.
It makes you unhorny. Very unhorny.
It does me. Well, I don't know if anything can actually make me unhorny.
They've tried. They've tried with you, but no, nothing makes you not horny.
Also, I matched with this guy in LA, and he was like, let's go out. And I was like, okay, well, I'm busy that day. And he was like, okay, what about this day? And I was like, okay. And then he just never messaged me. And then messaged me like 3 days later and was like, man, I dropped the ball on this. And I was like, you know, I don't want to go out with anybody who's like not fucking fully excited to go out with me.
Yeah.
Boy, these streets, it's really tough. LA is not what I thought it was going to be after we got our vaccines. It's still very bad and hard.
Do you think... So have you noticed, see, before, have you lived in LA before lockdown, I take it, for like filming? So have you noticed, is it harder to get hookups or dates? Or, you know, is it a lockdown-based thing where people have been isolated for so long that they now, you know, feel very antisocial and don't know what to do in these situations? Or is it just always that way?
Honestly... I don't know. Like it was easier. It was definitely easier before like our lockdown.
Yeah.
We've been not locked down since I think May or like April.
Yeah.
And it just like the people haven't been like, I don't know, hitting me up on the dating apps or anything. But I was in New York for a week and I was like, oh my God, maybe I should move back to New York.
Yes.
Everybody's fucking freaky here. like people were like half naked in Washington Square Park. I was like, this is, are we having an orgy? What the fuck is up?
These are my people. Yeah, yes. These are my
LA's
people.
LA's not like this. People are, I don't know. But I went to a gay club last night and yeah, it's called Precincts, downtown LA. And the gays are back at it.
Yeah.
The gays are really back at it.
Well, how do you feel? You're a gay ally as well. You know, you're such you support so many queer venues. You support queer people. How do you find being in a gay club? Do you get any action? Do you find people coming up to you?
No. No, I don't get any action.
I had to ask.
This one guy, he was so hot. He was like, I love you so much. You're so adorable. You're very funny. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. Do you fuck ladies? And he was like, I have to go. And I was like, okay.
No, you were sipping your drink and you went, oh, thank you.
I'll take it. I'll take that big rock hard dick. Yeah, I mean, The gays? I guess I shouldn't call them the gays.
The gays. Trademark. Trademark.
Queer people.
Yeah.
I just think are more fun. They're like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I was wearing this like long mullet that this adorable man named Larry made for me and a little Sonic t-shirt. And everybody was like, I like your Sonic t-shirt. I like your mullet. Your makeup looks pretty. If I wore that to like a straight place, nobody would blink an eye. They'd be like, oh, whatever. I guess she's like wearing a mullet. But like, I don't know. Gay people take time to compliment you.
It's nice though. It's, I don't know. I think there's this overwhelming feeling when you go to a gay club. I remember it the first time I went out in drag, even though I looked a mess, there's this mm-hmm. energy of uplifting, which I think is really good. It's so nice to see that energy because obviously on the streets, queer people are beaten, abused, chased, shouted at. So it's so nice that, you know, in queer spaces, that energy's there. And it's also there for people that aren't queer, mm-hmm. that are straight, that are, you know, someone's brought their friends and they're just chilling. I love that energy.
Yeah, I love it too. It's very welcoming.
Yes.
And honestly, that might be why I like being in queer spaces so much because, yeah, I just feel welcomed. I don't feel like an outsider. I don't feel like I'm not the prettiest person in the room. Yeah. Where I feel like, I don't know, like straight men, I don't want to say just straight men. Yeah, straight men,
straight men
have a tendency to like really let you know that what they don't like. They'll like sometimes you're invisible and you're like, oh my God, you couldn't even like smile at me. Like we made eye contact and you can't even just smile. Oh boy, but I guess it's gay to smile. Can't do that.
Well, I think straight people are so caught up in it's that like being mean keeps them keen mentality mm-hmm. that so many straight people have. And it's that like, if you compliment someone, they're going to feel good. Whereas if you make them feel like shit, it brings their self-confidence mm-hmm. down so you can get in. It's just very freaky.
It is. It's so fucking weird. So wait, I have a question. I have a question about drag. You wear a lot of purple. Is purple your signature color?
Yes, it is purple, and it matches the color of my knees. Don't ask me what I was doing last night. But
I think I know.
Yeah, you've seen the videos. I love wearing purple. I think it's a gorgeous color. And the whole reason I wear it is because my grandmother, when I was younger, before she passed away, she used to always wear purple, lilac, lavender. Mm-hmm. She'd knit like cardigans for herself that were like purple. And we would call her the wee purple blob. You know, because she was just this wee short old plump lady who'd just kind of walk about, and you'd see her out the corner of your eye, this like purple blob flash by. And I remember obviously when she passed away, I remember feeling like, oh, it's so sad we're not going to see the purple blob anymore mm-hmm. out the corner of your eye. So I just continued to carry on her purple reign and you know, reclaim it and take it on for myself. She's probably up there thinking, Lawrence, you owe me royalties, son. That's what you owe me.
That's so fucking cute. I love that so much. I just wear a lot of purple because I don't know. I think it like looks pretty on me.
It is a very pretty color, and it is pretty on you. It is.
Thank you. So on Drag Race, you guys filmed, and then there was a 7-month break, right? It was 7 months?
7 whole months.
That's crazy, because you're like a different person in 7 months.
Yeah, literally, so much can happen in 7 months. But I think because of lockdown, it was that way where you were a different person, the world was at a standstill. Uh-huh. So it was, it's so bizarre. But I remember getting told, it was after episode 4, we came back into the workroom, everyone was fighting with everyone. Ahura was arguing with anyone that breathed. Taste was arguing with Veronica. Tia and me started arguing. It was crazy. Uh-huh. Siren goes off and then basically they say, pack all your bags, you're going home. And I was like, this has never happened before. Like, are we going to need to re-audition again? Are they, like... And they were like, we don't know. It's never happened with us. We don't have a clue. So it was so bizarre because we'd, you know, when you go away to Drag Race, you're not allowed your phone, you're not allowed, mm-hmm. like, contact with the outside world. So when we were hearing about this thing called coronavirus,
mm-hmm.
I imagined something like World War Z, you know, zombies.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that.
Yes.
You, like, didn't have access to the new, or did you have TVs? Could you...
So we had TVs in our room, but I was too busy slaying the competition to watch the TV. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I just imagine like being sequestered, no phone, nothing, to like phone a friend to be like, I saw this on the news. Like, what the fuck is going on?
It is insane. Like, I just can't believe how... Because, I mean, it doesn't take that long to film an episode of Drag Race. So we filmed 4 episodes. So it wasn't a long amount of time that we'd been away for. Mm-hmm. It was like a week. And I genuinely was like, is my mum alive? You know, is the supermarkets, are they open? Like, what's going on? So I love that my mind immediately goes to food.
Oh,
if you notice.
Absolutely.
If you notice.
Well, I mean, when they announced a lockdown, I was like, well, food. That was truly my first thing. I was like, how do we get the food? Yeah. Will pizza come to my house?
But it was crazy, crazy. But I'm just so glad that after that 7-month break, we were able to come back. But it was even the whole idea of going from not gigging, being locked up in your house, to mm-hmm. having to go straight back into not even just drag race. Mm-hmm. RuPaul stood in front of you telling you you're going to lip sync. For your life. All these things, it just blows your mind. Blows your mind.
Yeah, what a wild ride. Like, I don't think anybody, very few people have that experience. To be, like, getting the dream, like, your full fucking dream, having it interrupted by a global pandemic, and then thrown right back into it, and you're like, all right, hope you still have your costumes. Yeah. Hope you fucking remembered how to do this shit.
Well, that's something I experienced was... it was about 6 months into the 7-month break. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we got told you're coming back this date, prepared this is still going ahead, blah, blah, blah. So I go, okay, let me try on these outfits. Let's rhinestone them more. Let's do something. Mm-hmm. And then trying to do up that zipper on the dress and it wouldn't fit. So I had to get my friend round and I was like, you need to add in like panels. And then mm-hmm. he was like, Lawrence, this isn't a panel thing. We need to redo these outfits. So we had to redo my outfits for Drag Race, which cost more money. It was insane.
God.
But that's dedication to the craft of drag.
It is dedication, but wow.
Yeah.
That's Drag Race is a real fucking investment unless you sew yourself and have a ton of time.
Yeah. Because that's the difficult thing is... Drag Race, so many people think it's like chill and you have, you know, because it's like, I think because the rumor of filming a movie is, oh, it takes ages to film a movie and it's not just the 2 hours you see in the cinema. Drag Race is completely different. You're like thrown into it. You have to make a dress in 3 hours and all this stuff. So I think people really don't understand how much of a pressure cooker it is, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think people understand reality shows at all because when people come on Nailed It, they're like, tee hee hee. And then it's like, oh no, you have to fucking do it. And there's a clock. And they're like, this isn't fun. Yeah. Real quick, we have to take a break.
See Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Ever wonder how much of your personal data is out there? Your name, contact info, social security number, and home address? Even information about your family members. Ooh, ah! all being compiled by data brokers and sold to the highest bidder online, leading to identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. Ring-a-ling. You can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exact information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Delete Me isn't just a one-time service. Receive regular personalized privacy reports showing what they found, where they found it, and what they removed. Imagine this. You go on a few dates with someone from a dating app and things don't click. You move on, but they don't. They start showing up at places you frequent, sending messages, and it becomes clear they found your personal information online. That's scary, right? I think so. Knowing my data isn't as exposed makes me feel a lot safer. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/date me and use the promo code date me at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/date me and enter the code date me at checkout. JOINDELETEME.com/date me. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're back. Yeah, people truly don't understand. They don't understand it. And then they'll be like, I can't remember who the guest judge was, but they were like, good Lord, you're just on all day. Because we like watch them cook and I don't want them to be like, oh, so like during lulls, she's like boring. So I'm like, sound like a lunatic, yes, during these like moments of silence. I'm like, ow. And my friend was like, do you like die when you go home? You like have so much energy. And I was like, I do. I pass right away every time I go home.
But that's the thing is, because I take it you're recorded while they're cooking as well. So you can't just be sat in the background, you know, checking your nails.
I could, but like, I'd rather give them, like, over give them shit to edit.
Yeah, yes.
So like, they'll just like pop in a weird thing that I've done. Yeah. You know, it's just trying to keep everything fucking silly. Yeah. You are a very good actor. Like in the acting challenges. Was there only one acting challenge on your season?
Yeah, the BeastEnders one. That was fun. That was so, so fun.
You want to get more into acting?
So it's a weird one. I love, I love your job. So if you could just hand over your job to me, that would be fabulous.
Is there a UK nailed it?
No, so this is a funny thing I wanted to tell you about. I spoke to Netflix and I was like, so, how do you feel about having me as a host of UK Nailed It? And they were like, we already have like an English-speaking version with Nicole Byer. And I was like, yeah, but I bring the UK flair. And they were like, no, I don't think so. I think we'll stick with the American one. It was,
but
it was
I mean,
so,
they
so
could
funny.
Do a UK one.
Right?
Just like UK-specific things. I'm on your side. Yeah. I'm a lobbyist for Lawrence Journey to yes. have nailed it. Nailed yes. the UK.
Yes, exactly. No, but I think ever since meeting RuPaul, mm-hmm. I've just become such a huge admirer. I was obviously a huge RuPaul fan before, mm-hmm. but seeing him do his thing on set was just so fascinating to me. I loved seeing, you know, just Ru prepare before speaking and mm-hmm. Techniques he used before speaking. He gave great advice to me when we were sat doing like table, the where he'd come round the workroom. He'd say, mm-hmm. oh, remember your camera's over there, my camera's there, and, so don't talk behind you or anything like uh-huh. that. And I just had so much respect for someone who knew so much about their craft and did mm-hmm. that. So I'd love to follow in Ru's footsteps of hosting and being funny, you know, like yourself. I love that duality where you could just be a very straight host, like, welcome to mm-hmm. the show. But, you know, you and Ru really mix up and make it so fun and funny. It's just a great environment.
Well, thank you. Ru is so funny. Like, right? Some of the shit that Ru says that doesn't make it onto the show, I'm just like,
all of it.
Man, all that was really funny.
I know. This is the thing. I wish that they were able to air all the, on the runway where they're critiquing. Because mm-hmm. Ru is so... Because, obviously on the judging panel, Ru's the only drag queen who grew up doing drag, mm-hmm. who really knows a lot about drag for older people, for the new generation, for everything. So Ru gives some really solid advice, some really funny stories as well. Mm-hmm. It's just a really entertaining person. I've never been surrounded by someone like that before, so that's what just blew my mind.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Also, I see it for you. I see you becoming an international drag superstar.
Superstar. Well, here's hoping in 5 years' time or something, here's hoping I can be a guest judge on Nailed It in the American version.
I would love it.
Yes.
We did have two drag queens last season, and because I'd been begging for it. I was like, please give me drag queens. Please. And they finally did, and I was so fucking jazzed about it. It made me so happy. So wait, you're on Grindr.
Yes.
What else are you on?
Sorry. I'm on Grindr. I had Tinder, but do you know what happened to me? I don't know if this has happened to you before. I should sue Tinder. But Tinder blocked my account because they thought I was a fake Lawrence Cheney. And I was like, listen, anyone that's trying to catfish as me, they need to dream big. They need to really dream big. Get a supermodel as your mm-hmm. catfish, not Lawrence Cheney. Like, it's so bizarre. So I'm blocked on Tinder, but I think that's forever. So I need to speak to them. I need to have words with Tinder.
Yes, you do. That's so wild.
So crazy. But so right now I'm only on Grindr. Only.
Oh, okay.
What do you have? What do you have right now?
Oh, let's see.
Get the
let's
list
pull
out.
Out the yes. phone. I have Hinge, Bumble, OkCupid, Tinder. This thing called Happn that I haven't been on in a while. This other thing called Buster, which is for fat ladies. Raya. And then Woo Plus, which is also for fat ladies. And I just, it's all bad. Nothing is good.
Someone suggested that Rhea to me, that Rhea,
yeah.
They suggested that to me and they said, oh, it's better, you know, because everyone's verified, you know, it's that. Mm-mm. And I literally, I heard from one of my friends who has it and they were like, no, it's terrible.
I think it's really fucking terrible.
Yeah.
But I've been like bopping around on, oh, also I matched with, I keep matching. Okay, this man is like following me from app to app. We matched on Tinder and I fucked him and it wasn't good. And then we matched on Bumble and then we matched on, well, I guess that was my fault because I swiped right on him. But then he liked something that I said on Hinge and I was like, we've already done this, sir. And then I matched with another guy that I've already fucked on, or he like super liked me on Tinder. And I was like, what is happening? I don't want this. I want new.
Yeah, they keep coming back for more.
I guess so. I want to read you this profile I found.
Yes.
I was like swiping and I was like, these people are nuts. So this is Patrick. He's 46.
Oh, he's sexy Patrick.
He's sexy Patrick, 46. Patrick. Nutty. So he's got a picture of him next to like a Lamborghini.
Oh,
and
God.
His caption says, or his like about me section, multi-millionaire with good and generous heart, looking for someone with a $1 million smile, very successful finance career, business up 300%, love to travel and get outside, snow ski 50 times per year, love to surf in Hawaii.
Is this a job application or a dating profile, Nicole? What is going on?
I don't know. It feels very much like a resume, but I also really love that he said snow ski.
Yeah.
Because if someone said skiing, I'd be like, obviously snow.
Yeah.
You only say
water
skiing.
Thank you for clarifying.
Skiing.
Yes. So I'm just shocked he put his like net worth like that. What was it? He put multi-million dollar.
Multi-millionaire with a good and generous heart. Very successful finance career. Business up 300%.
Oh, that's rich humor. That's rich people humor, that.
I guess so. Because,
yeah.
Like, how is your business up 300? Like, that's very good.
Yeah.
This man, Robert, I love him. He said, open to hooking up. I'm pretty thirsty, not going to lie. And I swiped right on him because he was like kind of cute. And I was like, well, if you're thirsty, I'm thirsty. And then we didn't match. And I was like, well, I guess you're not thirsty enough.
Wow. Wow. He needs to get real desperate real quick.
Rude.
Yeah.
Rude. Okay. Here's this other guy. He said, I'm a nice guy, but I'm pretty much a nobody. Here for a bad time, not a short time. And I was like, sir, you need therapy.
Yeah. So he's a nobody.
He's a nobody, and he's here for a bad time, not a short time.
So he lasts longer than 2 minutes is what he's saying.
I guess so.
Yeah.
He's like, I last for exactly two minutes.
2 minutes, yeah, timed.
Okay,
yes.
And this is the last one I'll read you. This is Spencer. He's 29. I'm in recovery. Single father, carpenter, biker. I'm a lot to deal with. Buckle up. And I was like, wow. Okay. Just putting it all out there.
Serial killer. Serial killer.
Yeah. But like, also, you don't have to put that you're in recovery on your dating profile. It's not my business till it's my business.
Yeah, wait till the third date. You know,
yeah,
wait
till at least. Yeah. You know, don't unload everything at first. Because it's like, I feel like when you tell people something that you think might be a flaw, it like taints it. It taints the experience.
Yes. Because you know? if you feel it's a flaw, that your kind of embodied shame rubs off on that. And then that person's like, well, I think you're ashamed, so I should be ashamed of that. Right. Okay. It's a weird cycle system.
Yeah. It's like I've seen on some people's profiles, it's like, fat, sorry about it. And I'm like, don't be sorry about it. Also, just take a picture of your body and then someone can just make whatever assumption they want to make and whatever. We don't have to announce things that we perceive as flaws. I want everyone to just like love themselves a little harder.
I know. Yeah. What happened to self-love? You know, this is the thing.
I don't
No. I can't remember what I posted. It was like something in a bikini and someone's like, "You're promoting obesity, da 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 da." And I was
unhealthy.
Like, "I am not."
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in order to promote something, that means like you're getting paid. Like Big Fat isn't paying me. Like the fucking food lobby's not paying me to like post pictures of my huge body. I was just like, I'm just promoting like, be okay in the fucking skin that you're in. That's all. You know?
I hate this ideal, you know, as a plus size person. I hate when, like I was doing a photo shoot recently and this person said to me, you know, the retoucher people that come say, what would you like retouch? What would you? And I said, let's start with the skin. Let's start. No. Uh-huh. But, you know, they said, and what about the silhouette? Is there anything you'd like change there? And I said, no, I'm cool with that. I want the lace gone. I want things that are fake. Like, if I spent more money, the wig would look nicer. But, you know, but like, see, altering bodies, I hate, you know, I speak to so many of my friends, and something I try and fire home so much is like, stop trying to, you know, this whole, oh, I'm going to find the perfect angle. I don't care what the perfect angle is, because I would much rather, so see, you know, people who are listening to this right now, I'm on a Zoom which is angled right at my chin. But the truth is, if you can accept me at my chin, double chin in this Zoom, then you can accept me looking my best, looking the best I've ever looked.
Yeah.
But also you can accept me on a bad day when I've rolled out of bed, hungover like a demon, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm like for Photoshop and also not for Photoshop.
Yes, same
I think
here.
It's like a photographer, when they edit it the way they want it edit, I'm like, that's your vision. That's your view. That's what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I'll always be upfront if I post like a Photoshop picture of me to be like, this isn't my body. This is a fantasy. This is a full-blown fantasy, but this is not it. I'm lumpy and bumpy, bitch. And then I feel like people they feel some type of way about it. They're just like, I thought you loved your body. Da, da, da. I'm like, yeah, I do. I'm not the photographer and I didn't do this. I like the picture, but I'm telling you it's not me.
Yeah.
People just get really in their feelings about a lot of shit.
Yeah, your job isn't like, imagine you're busy already. Imagine being your own photo editor, your own all this. That would be insane. Uh-huh. Insane. It's too much.
Fully fucking wild. Yeah. And then this is like years ago when I posted this picture where he like photoshopped my butt, just a little bouncier. and then like just took away my stomach. And I was like, surely I couldn't live like this. I would topple over. Like truly, it was like my butt was so big. There was nothing in front to like balance me out.
So you would just toppled over.
Yeah, truly just like fall backwards. And I posted the unphotoshopped picture with it. And people started like tagging him, being like, why would you do that to her body? And I was like, guys, no. Also, I can take care of my fucking self. I don't need anybody to fight in a comment.
It's
so wild. You're going to fight with someone in a comment on Instagram?
It's people as well who think, I don't know. I had so many people, especially experiencing when I won, obviously, some people wanted Bimini to win. Some people also just hate you. Like some people just do not like you. And what I've experienced, and again, Rue gave me the advice, is do not look in the comments. Mm-hmm. Because people that think posting a comment saying Bimini was robbed or you didn't deserve this or how dare you for the, whatever it is, it's like, what does that do? It actually does nothing. It does nothing other than tickle you.
But like when you hit send, are you like laugh? Are you like, ha ha ha?
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, got her.
Yeah.
And she's going to feel like shit after she reads this. Like, what is going on?
Well, I always think, when people say, someone posted a comment on a picture of me and Tia Coffey recently, and they said, oh, the two least good performing drag queens on Drag Race ever. And I literally in my head when I read that, I went, I won.
Yeah.
I was like, I do feel like you'll know this as well. Instagram and Twitter, folk will just say anything
yeah.
to trigger a response. Even if you won every episode of a competition, uh-huh. if you went home first, if whatever, they will say anything.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And it's like, why? You would never walk up to someone and say that to their face.
No.
So like, why say it on the internet? Also, it's like, Bimini was robbed. Bimini's doing great. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Tace is doing great. Ahura's, everyone's doing really well.
Yes.
So I think just being on the show, you won. Like, everyone yeah. wins in some different aspects. Yes, you have the crown, so you're the actual winner. Okay, darling. But yeah, I just, everybody's like, when people get jobs, you're like, that person shouldn't get it. It's like, what the fuck is that? We're all losing our minds.
Yes. It's crazy. And I think I've never known happiness like genuinely, I've never known happiness like turning off my phone for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That is so amazing. And just going for a walk. And, you yeah. know, that's gorgeous. That's lovely.
I did that yesterday. So I was like, I'm shooting something that started. This is the end of August. Okay.
Yeah.
I started shooting. I started shooting something in the beginning of this month, and I spent like some of July just like hiking a little bit, not even to lose weight, just to be like, oh, I have to be on a set for 16 hours.
Stamina.
That's exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah. a little bit of stamina, and I went for a hike yesterday with my dog. And we don't hike. Like we like to sit. We're two people. We sit.
Sitters.
We sit yeah. and we eat treats. Okay. And I went up half of this hill and I was like, oh my God, what if I turn around and just go home? But then there was like somebody moving into the house and I was like, they'll know I gave up. These people were not paying attention to me. And yeah. I was like, all right, you gotta keep trucking, gotta keep trucking. And then I got to like what I thought was the top of the hill and there was more hill. And I was like, oh my God. And then I just like kept stopping and being like, do you want to look at this, Clyde? And he was like, no, let's keep walking. And I was like, okay. It was really awful. I don't know why I brought this up other than I really hate moving. Why did I bring this up?
Thank you for sharing that deep, dark secret Lauren, with us.
Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
On your podcast, yes, you're welcome.
My God, I have ADHD, and sometimes it is outstanding what happens Good. In my brain.
Yes.
I'm just like, I have to tell this story right now. It's like,
right
for
now,
what,
not
bitch?
Any other time. Yeah.
Wait, are you in lockdown now or no?
No, so I had Corona recently.
Oh,
so I
no.
I had COVID 2 weeks ago and I took 3 weeks off. So uh-huh. I'm at home in Glasgow and there was me thinking, oh, this is fabulous. I'm going to, you know, get to chill and see my friends uh-huh. again, go out for dinner. No, I spent two of my 3 weeks off in isolation with Corona.
Boy, oh boy. Was it bad? Did you get it bad or was it okay?
I didn't get it, but I mean, I am like, I feel like anything is bad for me because I am mm-hmm. like, so I feel like I'm always like, oh, pity me, feel sorry for me. But no, it was very, very mild. Like I just had like a sore head, mm-hmm. coughing and like lost taste. But luckily for me, I never had it before. You can see that by some of my fashion choices. But it was wild. Like as soon as I had it, I was like, this is no joke. Like we all need to keep wearing masks. We all need to keep doing what mm-hmm. we need to do because it is no joke and it still exists. So
yeah, we got a whole bunch of variants and whatnot.
Yeah, the variants.
I don't mind wearing a mask on a plane. I'll do it for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
I actually really like it because I usually get sick right after I fly. And I've been, you know, touring. So you're touring again, yes?
Touring again, yes. Which is...
How has that been?
It's that double-sided thing. So it's everything I've ever dreamed of because you get to interact with an audience mm-hmm. that, you know, as a local queen before, people go, oh, yeah, I'm here to drink though, so I'm not interested. People that are there want to see mm-hmm. you. And that is amazing. That the energy is just so amazing. But what is a struggle is, like we were talking about, stamina and building that back up. My God, that took some time to build mm-hmm. that back up. It is so... I am someone, I will walk around a stage, just what I will move, and I sweat.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm pretty sure my taint was like Niagara Falls. It was like, it's insane though how much you sweat, and that's through the lights on stage, that's through a wee bit of nerves, that's through being in drag, it's all that stuff, but it's a weird mix, and you would never think, this is what I want to do. Stand on stage and sweat and tell people jokes as they get even more drunk. But it's fabulous. How have you found it?
I've been having fun slowly and surely because I did like my first weekend back. I did 6 shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Cleveland. And after the first show, I like sat down. I was like, I got it. I want to die. I barely move on stage. Yeah. I barely move. But like after like 15 minutes, I was like a little winded. I was like, boy, oh boy. I haven't done this in a while. Yeah. And I was like, it was hard to have fun because I was like, please don't die. But like now I'm like, I've had 4 weekends back. So I'm like back in the groove of things.
Yeah.
I feel better. Still getting real sweaty though, but like I feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they like, sometimes I'm like, are these the right lights? Why did you buy these lights? Yeah. These are the hottest lights on the fucking planet. What are we all doing?
It's when you feel the sweat like up in the brow and then it drips onto your lashes.
Like right into your eye and you're like, okay. This is bad.
Crying. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just like, this is not okay. Oh boy. Yeah. How did you get into drag?
It's weird because so many people have asked me. I'm actually in the process of finishing off my book, which is called Lawrence Cheney, Drag Queen of Scots.
I love it.
Because it's like Mary Queen of Scots, only I didn't get my head chopped off.
I get it.
What's so fun about it is you get to recall these memories, and it's really, really fun. And it's weird because so many people say, when did you start drag? And so many people see being in the entertainment industry, doing something like drag, as like you just walk down to the job centre or you find an application, you write it.
I would like to be a drag queen. Thank you so much.
I start on Monday. It is not that. And it basically started by, I would play around with makeup. You know, it started with my mother's makeup, my sister's makeup. Mm-hmm. And then that, you know, when I was playing around with it, I was like, this is too sheer. It's not thick enough. So I moved on to like, listen, everyone at home, don't shoot me. But I moved on to like acrylic paint I used to use because I love painting on canvas. Uh-huh. And I thought, drag is like painting, right? You know, painting your face.
Wouldn't an acrylic crack on your skin?
That's what I discovered though, because I would layer it on so thick. So if I went, it would look gorgeous like this. And then, you know, as soon as you go and laugh, you get smile lines completely. Yeah. But that's how it started, was I just saw drag makeup like a painting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your very own Mona Lisa, only I smile sometimes. So it just kind of progressed from there. I learned, you know, what is the good makeup to buy, what isn't. And I just slowly practiced and I found out, this back in 2014, that Jinx Monsoon was coming to Glasgow. Mm-hmm. And I was like, an American drag queen in Glasgow? This is amazing. I've never heard of this. And it was just when I was 18 and I dressed up as Little Edie, who Jinx did on Snatch Game. And it was just amazing. And Jinx was so supportive. And again, like we were talking about earlier, that environment that a queer space fills you with, that energy, is just so beautiful. I will like never forget, and what I've learned from writing about it, I can't describe that. I can't describe that amazing energy that a queer space gives you, even when you look a wee bit shit. Even when you're a bit down in the dumps as well, you know, there's something, there's that energy of family that is just so gorgeous in a queer space. And I've stuck at it ever since. You know, I'd start doing looks and then I started performing. It was just very natural. I got into it.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before on the podcast, but like
I feel like getting into drag is very much like getting into stand-up, where you just kind of like, you're like, oh, I can try this.
Yes.
Oh, and let me go to an open mic. Okay, that went pretty well. Oh, I bombed that one. Well, let me just try it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, until you're just like, oh, now I tour and tell jokes.
Yeah. I remember, it's funny, I did a documentary in 2018, you know, that followed drag. And I said, I don't want to just be stuck in like one little bar doing my lip syncing or whatever. So I went and did an open mic night at a stand-up club in Glasgow. And they're so similar. Drag and stand-up are so similar that like, okay, this went well. Then the next night you go, oh, that was shite. That was bad. But in your mind, you would have thought the first night would have been the worst. But that's not the case. It's peaks and troughs. And, yeah. You know?
I feel like the first night goes well because you're excited because you're like, ooh, this is new. This is a new thing I'm going to say out loud and you guys are going to think it's funny. And then the second time you go, yeah, you guys thought it was funny and I'm going to say it again. And then you don't have the same inflection and everything is a little off. And then you say it again. They're like, no. And you're like, okay, we got to regroup and figure this the fuck out.
Literally.
Oh, wait, Lawrence, real quick, we have to take another break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so your social battery right now, is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Like, what's going on? And like, why is it at these levels? Maybe it's not enough boundaries. Maybe you're less social, you know, at this time of the year. And it's easy to ignore these things and spreading ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings and stuff. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's important because finding a therapist is a little bit like dating. You're not going to click with everybody. So if you don't think they're for you, don't give up. Just try again. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dateme today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dateme.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
And we're back. We're back again.
We're back again. Fuck, what was I gonna ask you? Oh, I wanted to go back to dating. So you're single right now?
Yes, single like a Pringle. Yes.
Do you have like what's your ultimate thunt to say when it comes to being in, like, do you want to be in a relationship or no?
I would love to be in a relationship, but what I've learned from dating is that other people aren't ready to be in a relationship. Is that very, it sounds terribly selfish, but it's so true, where it's like, well, I'm ready, but you guys haven't caught up with it yet. You guys haven't caught up. And the truth is, you know, I'm 24, so a lot of other 24-year-olds.
You're so young.
Well, thank you very much.
My God, 24.
But so many people are just so interested in hookups and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that is fine. But there's so much, I feel, politics in dating a little bit, where it's like, you know, if you go on a date with someone, then they'll go on a date with someone else, and then it's that whole grey area of when are you exclusive, when is this a thing? Because I'm very, like, all or nothing. I'm like, I will either put all my energy into this and we will make it work, or I'm not this, you know, people who are like, I'm chill, I go with the flow. I'm not one of those people. I need to know what I'm doing. I need to know what you're doing and who you're doing. You know, it's, I'm very much like that.
I agree. I'm also not chill.
Yeah.
I'm pretty all or nothing, specifically because, like, that's just who I am as a person. So, like, when I decided to do comedy, I was like, I'm only doing comedy. This is, like, my laser focus. I do shows 5 nights a week. I'm going to get as funny as I can fucking be. I go, you know, to my job. I give it 100%. So it's like, in a relationship, I'm like, wait, you don't want to give 100, like, what is, you're going to fucking give 50, 20, 30 to different fucking people? Aren't you tired?
Yeah. I don't understand how people in their brain dissect things like that, how they divvy up, I'm going to do this, but only at this percentage. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there is one brain, I will put that towards this or that. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. I had an experience actually just before going away to do Drag Race, and I dated this guy, and he didn't get my, like, all or nothing thing. And I remember it would be just before we'd scheduled a date, you know, meet me at 5 at the TGI Fridays or whatever. And it was for drinks. They do a lovely Purple Rain drink. And even before Drag Race, I was ready for it. And
I love that you just said, meet me at TGI Fridays. So casually, and then you were like, hey, let me backtrack, they have good drinks.
But no, it's so funny. But the guy was like, you know, he started being a wee bit weird, and I said, oh, what's up, have I done something, are you all right? He said, well, I just hooked up with someone, and I don't think you're gonna be okay with that. And I was like, well, I'm not okay with you bringing it up,
yeah,
like 2 minutes before the date. And then I would be like, so are you coming to the date? And he was like, no, I'm not. And then, so it was this kind of him acting hot and cold. And because in this particular moment before Drag Race, I felt really down in the dumps, really depressed, honestly. I remember I just let him use me like that. I remember there was one time he said, oh, I want to see you tomorrow. Let's do something tomorrow. And I had a gig the next day, but at night time. And I said, so we'll do something during the day. Text him. He opened it, read, and then never got back to me. And he came to my show that night with a guy on a date.
No.
Because we're in the job where people can bring people on dates. Yes. And it's fun and it's that. And I couldn't believe the nerve. As Taste would say, the cheek, the nerve, the audacity, the gall, and the gumption.
The nerve, yeah. All of it. I mean,
I just couldn't believe it.
That is like an abusive fucking person who like really wanted to hurt your feelings. Because what on earth, like, who does that? Who's going to bring a date to the show of the other person you're seeing? Like,
to rub it in your face.
Yeah,
that's why.
So fucking nasty. I'm so sorry that happened. Fuck that person. We hate them. I wish them nothing but badness.
Fuck them. Yeah. But the funny story is the day after that show, I felt so down in the dumps. I was crying to my flatmate. I was like, nobody loves me. I got a text. Hello, hi, this is the Drag Race team. Can we give you a call today? And that day I got cast on Drag Race. So that all happened for a reason in my head. And it's helped me on a more positive mental health journey. So amen. Amen.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much. I was like, not really down in the dumps, a little bit. It was like a couple of weeks ago. I was at my friend's house and we were drinking and it was like rather late. And then we were talking about, I was talking to my friend Gilly about how we keep just hanging out and going to drag shows. And we're like, we're not going to find men at drag shows who want to fuck us. We need to go to like a straight place. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I'm horny. And then I, like, one little tear fell down my face and I went, for love. And then I couldn't stop laughing because I was like, this is so vulnerable and like real. I'm horny for love. I just like want to come home to a person who's like, did you have a nice day?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes.
I'm someone, I don't know about you, but I love that idea of, I'm not a woman, but I love that idea of a man taking care of you. I love that. But I also like my own independence and I don't like people getting in my space and stuff like that. So I just think I'm a very weird case of a person.
I don't think you're weird. I think more like I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but I'm like that. Like, I want someone in my house, but I want them to have like their own room and like their own office, like their own space.
Yes.
But like we come together at night, or sometimes we don't. If I have to wake up early, you go sleep in the other room. If you have to wake up early, don't fucking wake me up. You go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, boy. Lawrence, this has been delightful, and I could talk to you for, like, I don't know.
Hours.
Hours and hours and hours. You're truly... I want to come to Scotland.
Well, I'm
coming... Let me
coming,
come visit you!
I'm coming to LA in October, so hopefully I'll see you about there.
Yes,
or something,
yes, please.
Like,
yeah, I'll give you my number and just text me when you're in town.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're a fucking delight. I love
you're
you.
You're a delight. Oh, babes.
Thank you. Wait, I have a question. Do you have any straight male, or not even straight? I keep saying straight. I don't mind if they're bi or whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit how you
I don't
identify.
Mind.
I don't care. Because people keep trying to be like, you're bi, right? And I'm like, no. I am a person who loves people.
People.
I'm Samantha from Sex and the City, where I'm just like, I will do anything I want.
Or whoever
you
want.
Whoever I want. But like, I do want like a ginger. Do you know any like gingers who fuck ladies in Scotland who I can have a long distance relationship with and then come visit and then fuck them?
I do, but they're too busy fucking me, so hands off.
Lawrence Cheney.
Fair enough.
Wait, what? Okay, should I come to... I think I want to go to Scotland. What is... I love how I'm trying to wrap this up, and I'm like, I want to know... Blah, blah, blah. But what is there to do? What should I do?
So the nightlife in Scotland's really fun. Uh-huh. There's a lot of history in Scotland as well. So if you like... like museums, if you like walks where you can see lots of stunning architecture and castles. Ooh, uh-huh. Places like Edinburgh are really good for that. Glasgow's really good for it. Definitely would recommend a city in Scotland. Mm-hmm. Do not go to, like, Beyonce stayed in like Loch Lomond, which is in the middle of nowhere. Mm. I love her. I love Beyonce, but I don't have a fucking clue why she would want to be in the middle of nowhere. But so don't do that. Definitely a city.
Okay, stay in a city.
And I'll be your tour guide, all right? I'll be
Perfect.
Your tour guide.
Is your, like, I had a Scottish trainer named Ben who I miss. I think he's back in Scotland. But he said that your, like, national animal is a unicorn.
What?
Was he lying to me?
I've never heard about that before. Our national flower is the thistle, the purple thistle.
So wait, there's nothing about unicorns in Scotland? This is so funny. You said this to me like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, and I've never said it out loud to anybody. I think he was lying to me.
I think he was lying to you.
I've checked Google, and apparently the unicorn is the official national animal of Scotland.
Yes, okay, I'm not crazy. Mars, thank you.
Is that right?
For a hot second, I was like, I feel insane that I just said that out loud. And you were like, no.
I love that I'm the Scotsman and I'm wrong. That is a unicorn.
Yeah, a unicorn apparently is your national animal.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but they don't exist. But
I know,
all
which is really funny. Oh, wait, Lawrence, before we wrap it up, I always ask this. Would you date me?
Absolutely. We're two peas in a pod.
We really are. Like, I really like you.
I really like you. What are you doing tomorrow?
Oh my God, hanging out with you, bitch. Yeah. Get on a plane. Yeah. Okay, well, this has been another episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me? You can rate it. It's as if I've never recorded this podcast before.
Yeah.
On Apple Podcasts. Also, it's on like Spotify and shit. I don't know. Oh, wait. And I have a merch store. It's truly as if I have never, ever wrapped up this podcast before. I have a merch store. It is podswag.com/date me. So you can buy a bunch of shit with my face on it. And if you write me something nasty, I will... read it out loud. So this person, I have two today. Nicole, my man wants to cream by you and felt you at the same time. I don't know what felching means, but it seems bad.
That I don't even know what those words mean.
Me either. Okay, here's another one. Okay, we're at the Addison Improv, which is a comedy club, and you've just done back-to-back shows, and it's time for the meet and greet. And OBGYN table complete with stirrups is wheeled out and you jump on it because you just got a standing O and now it's time for you for a laying down O. Each of your adoring fans are eagerly waiting their turn to meet and greet that pussy. After we all take our turns lapping that pussy up, we just leave. That's it. That's the end. Honestly, that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
That sounds like Harry Potter fan fiction or something.
Yes, I mean, what a wild fantasy that I finish a show, they wheel out a gurney with stirrups, I get in it, and then each person, like, what? Like, licks my pussy for, like, a hot second?
Takes
and
turns.
And then they, like, they just leave? Honestly, I feel like that's a way you could get corona. I know you can't, but, like, I feel like I would get corona after 200 people licked my pussy.
Sanitize everyone.
I would just become corona. Well, that's it. Lawrence, I love you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.